Good morning, everybody. My name is Tomás Acín, and I'm also part of the Strawberry Breeding team from the University of Florida. Today I'm going to talk to you about the effects of strawberry volatile on consumer sensory responses. Now, the information I'm going to show you today is actually an extension of a previously published study by Schuderman and others early this year. And this study, they conducted taste balance evaluations, and they also obtained information on several chemical and physical variables from the same samples. So as a result, they were able to establish some relationships between all these variables. As an example, they found that overall liking correlates well with sweetness, flavor, and texture liking, especially with the first two. And they also linked all the sensory responses that you see on the left side of the table with all the objective variables that you see on the right of this table. Now, for this study, we used the data set generated by this previous study, but we actually focused our attention on determining whether certain volatiles affect panelists' perception of food sweetness and flavor intensity independently from the amount of total sugars and titratable acidity from the fruit. The main difference of this study with the previous one is that we identified and eliminated problematic panelists, and we also fit more comprehensive statistical models that allowed us to take into account the effect of panelists in the ratings. So the evaluated fruit was harvested in West Central Florida at the Gulf Coast Research and Education Center and Growers Trials during two consecutive strawberry seasons. 54 samples from 34 genotypes were evaluated across 12 harvest dates, with an average of 4.5 samples and 105 panelists per evaluation. The fruit was harvested the day before each evaluation, and the fruit was transported to the Food Science and Human Nutrition Department at UF in Gainesville, where the actual panels took place. Now, as I mentioned before, several sensory responses were recorded, but I'm going to focus my attention on sweetness and flavor intensity ratings right now. The scale we used was the generalized label magnitude scale from 0 to 100, where 0 represents no sensation, and 100 represents the strongest sensation of any kind ever experienced. Now, for the chemical analysis, we obtained information on the amount of individual volatile compounds in the fruit. We also determined the amount of total sugars and the levels of titratable acidity in the fruit. Now, to identify which panelists did not understand the scale correctly, we use the responses from certain experiences that they rated at the beginning of the taste panels. That these questions were not related with the fruit tasting at all. For example, they were asked to rate the intensity of the loudness of a whisper, the loudness of a conversation, and the loudest sound ever heard. Similarly, they were asked to rate the intensity of the brightness of a dimly lit restaurant, the brightness of a well-lit room, and the brightest light ever seen. So if a panelist fails to rank these experiences in this order, then all their answers were eliminated from the dataset. So for example, a panelist with this kind of ratings would have been kept on our dataset, but a panelist with this kind of ratings would have been eliminated. Now, when a panelist also rates the sweetness or flavor of a strawberry higher than the loudest sound ever heard or the brightest light ever seen, it also raises a big red flag. Well, this panelist either tasted a really good berry, or this panelist just overrated the sample for any reason, or the panelist just again didn't understand the scale. To give the individuals the benefit of the doubt, we only eliminated panelists that overrated more than 15% of the samples. Now, we started with 166 panelists at the beginning, and after the elimination process, we ended up with 133 panelists. Now, we use multiple regression analysis to determine the effect of the volatiles. on sweetness and flavor ratings. At the beginning, we wanted to explain as much variation as we could using only information from total sugars and titratable acidity in the fruit. We chose these two variables because historically they have been associated with sensory responses, and also they were, in preliminary analysis, they proved to be important in our data set as well. So our initial food models included first and second order terms of total sugars and titratable acidity, as well as the first order interaction. You can see that the initial food models look the same for both of these variables. But then we started to eliminate non-significant terms using backward elimination. And for sweetness models, we only found out that total sugars was significant with a positive and linear effect, just like you can see in the graph. Whereas for flavor models, we found that also the first and second order degree terms of titratable acidity were significant. And what this positive and negative sign mean is that actually titratable acidity increases the flavor ratings up to a certain point, after which higher levels only start to decrease flavor ratings. Now these became our two base models, and then we started adding one volatile at a time to these models. For example, we started with V1, volatile 1, then volatile 2, all the way to the final volatile. So this is what the formal model of sweetness ratings as a function of total sugars and any given volatile looks like. As you can see, we have the intercept here, we have the slope of the sugars over here, we have the volatile slope over here, and the error in that side. Now this model assumes a fixed intercept and fixed slopes for sugar and volatile, but for us to be able to capture the effect that from panelists, we model the intercept and volatile slope as a random effect. To do that, we expanded both betas into these a little bit more complicated terms, where the betas over here refer to the mean intercept and the mean volatile slope for the population, and the U's over here are random variables that capture the deviation of each volatile, of each panelist, from that mean. So at the end, this is what our model for sweetness looks like. Now, we were able to quantify 81 volatiles from all the samples that we tested, and out of these 81, only 24 had a significant effect either on sweetness or flavor models. In each row represents a different volatile, and the left side of the table refers to sweetness models and the right side of the table to flavor models. The first column contains the value of the volatile slope, and if you remember from the previous slide, that refers to the beta portion of the volatile slope. And you can see there's an asterisk if the volatile slope was significantly different than zero. The second column refers to a relative importance index, which was calculated using the standardized slope of the volatile divided by the standardized slope of the sugars. And the third column contains the results from the likelihood ratio test that test the effect for panelists. And if you remember from the previous slide, this refers to the U portion of the volatile slope. So at the end, only 19 of these volatiles had a positive, had any effect on sweetness models, 10 with a positive effect and 9 with a negative effect. For flavor models, we found 17 volatiles with a significant effect, 10 with a positive one, and 7 with a negative effect. Now, only 12 of these volatiles had a significant effect on both models, sweetness and flavor ones. And you can see that 7 had a positive effect, and 5 of them have a negative effect. Now I have highlighted these five genotypes, volatiles here, because they also have higher values of relative importance. You see them, the numbers highlighted in red there. I want you to pay attention to volatile B3 and volatile B29, because they both are significant. One is negative effect and the other one with a positive effect, but this one has an effect, a panelist effect, and this one does not have a panelist effect. This is the sweetness rating plotted against the concentration of volatile B3, and if you look at this graph, you probably wouldn't recognize any a relationship between these two variables. And the main, well, one of the reasons is because all these dots are on top of each other. If I apply some transparency to the information, you can see that there's a little bit of high concentration of data points around the regression line. But actually, things become really interesting when I start highlighting observations from individual panelists. And you can see here that a lot of variation actually is introduced by systematically by each panelist. You can see that all these three lines have a different intercepts, and maybe the line in the middle has a different slope compared to the other two. Now this is a figure that shows the distribution of these slopes that I just showed you before for volatile B3. Each bar represents the number of panelists that have a slope value between each of these ranges in the horizontal axis. You can see that for volatile B3, which had a positive effect, zero value is over there, and the mean is just right of this value. And you, even though the mean of the population was positive, you can see that we observed 33% of the panelists with negative slopes. Now, on the other hand, for volatile B29, you see that zero is all the way to the right, and the effect, the negative effect for the population is all the way here, and we only observe 2% of the panelists with positive slopes. So a lot more volatile B29 produce a lot more consistent results across panelists compared to volatile B3 on the other side. Now to conclude, we saw that there's some evidence that a specific volatiles can enhance and reduce strawberry sweetness and flavor ratings independently from the amount of total sugars, anti-trailable acidity in the fruit. We also saw that some volatiles seem to have a more consistent effect across panelists than other volatiles. And there seems to be a potential for breeders to target these compounds and increase consumers' acceptance of new cultivars, and perhaps increase sweetness perception without increasing sugar content. We are currently waiting on 2 extra years of data. We're still trying to refine all these models. And as you might have noticed, these models do not take into account any interaction that might occur between volatiles. Hopefully with this new data set that we are about to get, we can estimate and test for some of these interactions. If you are interested in knowing more about the sensory-assisted strawberry breeding approach from the University of Florida, Dr. Van Zwiereker will be talking on Wednesday at 8:45 at Salon 8. Now, have any questions?
We have 1 minute.
How many times did you run your taste tests analysis?
The question is, how many times did we replicate the taste test analysis? And the answer is that we ran 12 different harvest dates with different genotypes at a time. So we're expecting to double that information from the next 2 years that we're expecting now. But,
So you ran taste tests at each one of those?
No. We collected the information from all those tests and then ran the analysis.